Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with Cameroonian basketball star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. The big center from Yaounde is having the best season of his NBA career, heading into Sunday's NBA All-Star Game in Atlanta, Georgia. Embiid is averaging more than 30 points each game, as well as almost 12 rebounds a contest. Those kind of statistics will earn you an all-star selection. And for Joel Embiid, it's the fourth time he's been picked for the All-Star Game. Embiid will be one of the starters for the Eastern Conference All-Stars in Atlanta on Wednesday night in a matchup of NBA conference leaders. Joel Embiid and Philadelphia defeated the visiting Utah Jazz in overtime. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The 76ers needed overtime to win a matchup of the NBA's conference leaders, downing the Jazz 131-123. Joel Embiid poured in 40 points, grabbed 19 rebounds, and hit a tying three-pointer late in regulation. Tobias Harris scored 11 of his 22 points in OT as the East leaders improved to 24-12 and stayed a half game ahead of the Nets. Embiid says Tobias was the star.
He made the first one, and, you know, that's what we got to keep doing. And we were like, just keep hitting. And he made the second one. He made the third one. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. He's hot. He's making shots, so you got to keep fitting it.
The Jazz dropped their second straight despite Donovan Mitchell's 33 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Dave mentioned Donovan Mitchell. The Utah guard was also selected for Sunday's NBA All-Star Game, as well as his French teammate, center Rudy Gobert. As I mentioned earlier, Joel Embiid will participate in Sunday's All-Star Game, and his Philadelphia teammate, Ben Simmons, earned his third All-Star Game selection. Ben Simmons scored 17 points Wednesday night against Utah. Meanwhile, Wednesday's game against the Jazz is expected to be the last in Philadelphia without fans. Under new COVID-19 protocols, beginning with their home game against San Antonio on March 14th, the 76ers can host 3,100 fans at their Wells Fargo Center Arena, which has a capacity of about 20,000. Elsewhere around the NBA, another player who was named to Sunday's All-Star Game, Portland Trailblazers guard Damian Lillard, made a big shot Wednesday night to lift his team to a comeback victory. The AP's Jim Bernard reports.
Damian Lillard hit what proved to be the game-winning three-point shot with 13.7 seconds remaining as the Portland Trailblazers beat the Golden State Warriors 108-106. Lillard scored his team's last 8 points in the final 2 minutes as the Trailblazers rallied for the victory.
Now is the time where, like, I got to force it a little. I got to create an opportunity, even if it's a tough one or even whatever happens. I got to put my foot on the gas a little bit more and try to make something happen.
Lillard and Carmelo Anthony each scored 22 points for Portland, while Robert Covington and Gary Trent Jr. each chipped in 15 points apiece. Stephen Curry topped the Warriors with 35 points, while Draymond Green had 12 assists and 9 rebounds. I'm Jim Bernard.
Thanks, Jim. Jim mentioned Draymond Green. Let's give Draymond a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute. Draymond was born March 4th, 1990 in Saginaw, Michigan. Draymond played his college basketball at Michigan State before being selected 35th overall by the Warriors in the 2012 NBA draft. And Draymond Green has had a successful NBA career with Golden State. He's won 3 NBA championships. And Draymond has also been named to the NBA All-Star Game 3 times. In addition, Draymond Green was named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year in 2017 when he led the league in steals. Happy 31st birthday, Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors. And speaking of steals, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Indiana Pacers guard T.J. McConnell, who set a NBA record Wednesday night with 9 steals in the first half of Indiana's 114-111 road victory against the Cleveland Cavaliers. McConnell ended up with 10 steals in the game, and in the process, he recorded a pretty unique triple-double. 16 points, 13 assists, and 10 steals. And for our VOA basketball fans keeping score, 2 former NBA players, Larry Keenan and Kendall Gill, share the NBA's overall steals record with 11 in a game.
Yo, 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 for the greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akator, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carollo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporty greetings. This is Amina Sanizan Gwandara, Head of Women Football, Nigeria Football Federation. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Amina. South Sudan recently kicked off its first ever National Women's Football League. David Monodonga reports from Juba.
Hundreds of men, women, and children watched as the Awil women and the Juba superstars squared off in the first match of the South Sudan Women's Football League at Buluk Playground in Juba. The superstars beat the Awil women by 2-0, with Susie Michael scoring the first goal of the league before Emanuela Satiro doubled for the hosts in the 70th minute of the second half. In the second round of games, Bentiu United won 1-0 against Kwajok women. Yei Joint Stars won 3-0 against the Yambio women in Yambio. And the hosts, Torit women, thrashed the Wa women 8-0. Francis Amin, president of the South Sudan Football Association, says what had been a long uphill battle has finally turned out to be a dream come true.
Today is a historic day in South Sudan. We have registered for the first ever South Sudan League, and which is recognized in the system by the FIFA. We have made it today. And congratulations to the whole team. We have started the beginning with the training of the coaches, administration, and now we have kicked off the league. The next, we are going to receive the coach for the national team.
Uganda national Jean Sinende is a Confederation of African Football, or CAF, consultant on women's football, who has been hired by the South Sudan Football Association to provide technical guidance. She says launching the league gives hope to many young women across South Sudan and for women's football in the region.
Because if we don't start, then we'll never see where we can improve. So we've started the matches. Now, every match, hopefully, we can work with the coaches who we trained in January so that we can help them on how to improve with also their game plan, technically, tactically, mentoring them so that they can transfer that onto the girls that they are training. So in January, we trained over 90 coaches in our strategy.
With those 90 coaches, Sinende says the strategy is to have them teach players across the country to develop the Women's League. On February 10th, the SSFA appointed South African national Shelene Boisen as South Sudan's first female head coach of the Bright Starlets, the senior women's national football team. South Sudan's men's team is the Bright Stars. Sinende says the league will be key for FIFA's licensed coach to watch, identify talented players, and determine where the South Sudan's women's team can improve. Boisen, who holds a CAF A license, recently served as performance analyst for South Africa's team at the 2020 COSAFA Women's Championship. Sinende says the league is creating a platform for many young girls in South Sudan to exercise their talent. She says she would like to see South Sudanese women's teams become the best in East Africa. Before she was a football consultant, Sinende played in England in the FA Women's National League for Queen's Park Rangers and Crystal Palace. She also played for the Charlton Athletic Women's Club and the London Phoenix Ladies FC. She says all South Sudanese, including parents, guardians, and men should support girls and give them the opportunity to showcase their talent instead of marrying them off at a young age.
You could see from the talent and the fans who came here today, even when they were not allowed to, that the desire is there to support women's football. Now we hope we can continue changing the mindsets and the perceptions of everybody, that women can do much more than just stay at home, get pregnant, get married off. I think we need to change that perceptions, because from my own story, it shows that you can be a player, you can be an administrator. There is so much more than just a game.
South Sudan's culture, youth and sports minister, Dr. Albino Ball, says the Women's League is important because it encourages South Sudanese from various communities to interact with each other.
Peace cannot be achieved if we are not socializing among ourselves. Socialization among our tribes through a peaceful coexistence is what will bring peace. And sport is one of the social activity that can bring peace to the whole nation in a very simple way. So I want to thank the FIFA and the CAF and the Football Association of South Sudan and the leadership of Francis Amin for coming up with this great event.
The league has 8 football clubs, the Juba Superstars, the Ye Joint Stars, the Yambia Women FC, the Awil Women, Kwajok Women, the Wa Women, the Torit Women, and Bentiu United. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Thanks, David. As David reported, South Sudan recently hired the South African Shelene Boisen as the new head coach of its national women's football team, nicknamed the Bright Starlets. With more on Coach Boisen, as well as the new American coach of Nigeria's national women's football team, here is Samson Omale.
Shelene Boisen, the new head coach of the South Sudan senior women's national team, Bright Starlets, has assumed duties after arriving in South Sudan. Boisen, who holds a CAF A license, was recently the performance analyst for South Africa's team at the 2020 COSAFA Women's Championship. South African Boisen was given a 2-year contract.
I think there was a great opportunity for me to invest in African football. And when I was looking at what they wanted to do with their women's program, I felt like it was a perfect fit for both of us. I love to coach and teach. They want to grow, so yes, I think it was a perfect fit. And when you're talking about a relatively new country, but they are fully independent and they have come a long way. I'm happy to be here to help support and grow the program. Now it will be about building and sustaining.
Meanwhile, Continental Women's Champions, the Super Falcons of Nigeria, are back in the country after they kicked off the reign of American coach Randy Waldrum on an impressive note by winning the inaugural edition of the Festival Women's Trophy, otherwise known as the Turkish Women's Cup, in Antalya, Turkey. The Super Falcons won all their three matches at the four-team invitational tournament held under strict COVID-19 protocols between February 17th and the 23rd. Randy Waldrum is the coach of the Super Falcons.
Well, I think, you know, from a playing perspective, I want to take what the talent here, the style of football from Nigeria, we want to build on that. But I also think we, after observing, you know, the friendlies and in the last World Cup, I think there's some things in terms of the way we play where we can even do a better job of possession, keeping the ball when it's time to do so, and making a good decision on when it's time to counter quickly and use our speed. So I think we can, as far as the playing style goes, I think we can expand and build on what's already there from a style standpoint. I think, you know, in general, from the ambition of for the team moving forward is certainly the goal is to consistently get out of group play and have a deep run into every World Cup and to become world champions. I don't think you go to the tournament to play the game just to be there. You know, you want to play to win. And so obviously that's a goal to get there. Now, I think there's also a method to it and there's a plan to build the structure and put everything in place to make sure that we do well. But I think it's really important that not only in 2023, but moving forward with the country, I think it's really important that year in and year out, Nigeria is finishing in the top four, finishing, you know, in at that level, because I think if you put yourself in the top four, then anything can happen. You know, you have the opportunity to, at that point, to win the World Cup. So I think the consistency of finishing high in every competition has to be a goal.
It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of the VOA's Music Time in Africa show. The Secretary General of Mozambique's National Olympic Committee, Penalva Cesar, says his country hopes to send a 28-member team to this year's Tokyo Games. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to Cesar's comments during an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye. The Mozambican Olympic official tells Iron Mike, with the global pandemic, he's cautiously optimistic the Tokyo Games will be held in July.
Hopefully the Games will take place this year after the postponement last year. And when the Games were postponed because of COVID situation, training was also cancelled everywhere. But around October last year, teams returned to training in Mozambique under special authorization by the head of state after consultations with health authorities. Then we produced a guide of procedures to all national federations involved. And this guide was produced in straight collaboration with the Ministry of Health in order to guarantee safety, social distance, sanitation in accordance with the World Health Organization instructions. So at the moment, I would say all the high-performance athletes, those who are involved in preparation for the games because they are qualified, or those who are preparing to take place in qualification events, are training. Of course, this training is a bit peculiar because we have to respect all these instructions. It's a different way of training, and athletes and officials are in a process of relearning how to train. But I mean, everywhere in the world, the situation is the same. So we are doing the best we can. The athletes who are training for the preparation of the games will definitely attend training camps, both at national and international level. And especially prior to the opening ceremony in Tokyo, all the qualified athletes from the Mozambique team will be participating in different training camps in Japan for the athletes to train better in an environment which is proper, which is the Japanese one, and also because jet lag is very big, it's 7 hours difference, so athletes will need time to recover from jet lag and also prepare in the most adequate environment. So all the athletes will be attending training camps in Japan 20 days prior to the opening ceremony.
How many athletes and officials will represent your country?
At present, Mozambique have qualified 5 female athletes, and this is the number of the qualified athletes we have up to now. But as the time goes on, and the qualification will probably return to place in the near future, We still have opportunities to qualify some athletes, some more. The athletes who are already qualified are from sailing, 3 athletes, and boxing, 2 athletes. But eventually we may qualify 1 male athletics runner, 2 male beach volleyball, and 1 more boxing, a male athlete. And eventually a male swimmer. These are the figures that, well, it's just a provisional figures. And, yes, this will take us to a number of around from 9 to 11 athletes, plus their coaches and officials for a team of, will be, as I said, from 9 to 11 athletes, 16 officials between coaches and managers. Of course, Mozambique will also have a chef de mission. And that will be the constitution of our delegation to the Olympic Games.
Do you still have some qualifying events by your athletes for the Olympic Games?
Well, as I mentioned before, there are a number of qualifying events taking place in the near future. We just don't know when these events will take place. We are waiting for the international federations to announce the new dates for the qualifications that were cancelled last year. So we still have really a number of qualifying events. I spoke about athletics, swimming, boxing. I mean, the sports where we're trying to qualify, and there's also a canoeing qualification. So it's quite a number of before June to take place around the world.
That's Penalva Cesar, the CEO and Secretary General of Mozambique's National Olympic Committee. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Maputo, Mozambique.
Squatty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, 5-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
New COVID-19 quarantine protocols in Britain are raising concerns among some Premier League football managers ahead of this month's international break. VOA's Gwen Uten tells us about Liverpool's reaction to the new restrictions as Liverpool prepares to host Chelsea later Thursday evening. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last month, Britain introduced a quarantine program that states travelers who arrive in the UK from a red list country, determined to be a high risk for COVID-19, must spend 10 days in isolation at a government-approved hotel. Several Premier League managers have called for an exemption to the quarantine rules unless the travel ban changes. And on Wednesday, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp told reporters he would not release players for international duty if they are required to quarantine when they return.
I think everybody agrees we cannot let the players go and just so for playing for the country and coming back and have to quarantine for 10 days in a hotel. That's not how we can do it.
Under the restrictions, Klopp would lose several key players for 10 days following the international break. Brazilians Alisson Becker, Fabinho, and Roberto Firmino are all due to play World Cup qualifiers in countries on UK's red list. And Senegal's Sadio Mane and Ghanaian Naby Keita would also be affected, with their countries due to face Eswatini and Namibia, two of 17 African nations considered high risk for COVID-19. Klopp is in need of as many players as possible to help Liverpool finish out the Premier League season that has seen the reigning European champions not at top form. They are currently sixth in the league, and Klopp has conceded his side has fallen too far behind leaders Manchester City to defend the title. Their focus is now on getting into the top four. Liverpool is set to host fifth-place Chelsea in a battle for contention. And ahead of the match, Klopp says the challenge for Liverpool is clear. They have to win.
I think a week ago, we were out. Now we are around again. So for us, it's not faster that the challenge and the job is clear. We have to win. We have to win football games, as many as possible, to make it in the top four. That's how it is. We know that not only since today, so we know that. And we cannot make a difference who we face. but we know, of course, about the quality of Chelsea, and Chelsea have the same targets. So it was, since I'm in England, the first 2 years, I think, first year, we had no chance. And then we had already kind of a fight. No, the 2 years later, we had a fight with Chelsea, I think. And to get to the Champions League. So, but there are other teams, obviously. There are neighbors. It's West Ham, it's Tottenham will come again, and all these kind of things. And, of course, Leicester. United, and maybe not really involved anymore, I'm not sure. And City's obviously already gone. So that's all clear, yeah. For the neutral fan, it's exciting. For the Liverpool supporters, it's exciting as well, but maybe not in exactly the way he wants to. But we will give it a proper try.
Chelsea sit just 1 point behind fourth place West Ham. But ahead of his match at Anfield, manager Thomas Tuchel said, whatever the outcome Thursday night, he's taking it one game at a time.
We know about the constellation, but we know also that we have still 12 matches to go. So it will not, no matter what result we get out of tomorrow, it will not be the end of the race for the top four. But like you said, it is a big importance, and it is a big importance also in which way we play this. I hope we can show up in the same mentality and in the same attitude like we faced all the tough challenges we had so far. And there were quite a lot. So this week brings it up quite to the highest level you can imagine, with Atletico, Man U, Liverpool and Everton in the race for Champions League, and of course in the race for the top four. And this race will go, for my opinion, this race will go on until just the end of the 12 games we have to play.
The German manager will face his compatriot Jurgen Klopp for the first time in the Premier League. Tuchel has called Klopp a genius and said he's looking forward to the challenge of trying to best his outstanding fellow countrymen. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. In Premier League results Wednesday, Burnley and Leicester City play to a 1-1 draw. Sheffield United beat Aston Villa 1-0 on a goal by Irish striker David McGoldrick. And Crystal Palace and Manchester United play to a scoreless draw. Man U is 14 points behind runaway leader Man City in the EPL standings. And that wraps up the March 4th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.